Hello, friends and family and fans. Here is another episode of Riesling and Raven. This episode, we are going to be covering our first impressions and looks of the season 13 RuPaul's Drag Race Queens. The first episode is going to be coming out New Year's Day, and 2020's been a real shit show. I mean, we've all heard it multiple times by now. 2020 has been a shit show if I ever did see one. So there was a little bit of a break there for me. I uploaded two episodes in the beginning of December and took a few weeks off. There was some stuff going on at home and with family and stuff, so I took a bit of a break, but I am back now. And 2021 is about to begin with RuPaul's Drag Race Season 13. So this will be a culmination of going over their outfits and just sort of looking at who I'm excited for and my overall thoughts on the first meeting of the queens from the Meet the Queens video on the YouTube channel for RuPaul's Drag Race. Okay, let's start with the queens. Alrighty, so the first queen that we are starting with, we're going to go in order of the cast reveal video order. So the first queen we are going to be touching on is Denali. So about Denali, she has been doing drag for 2.5 years only. She is a figure skater from Alaska. She is the first Alaskan queen. She also has a black belt. She is an avid lover of couture fashion. She loves all things nature, cold, winter. Her outfit is definitely like winter-esque. Like, looking at it, it is completely winter-esque. It literally looks like a combination of snowflakes and maple leaves. That's what I see when I'm looking at her outfit. Like, the armband, like elbow cover sleeve things, though, they look like frosted over leaves to me. And it's really cute and conceptual. It is a peculiar taste in fashion, but it is avant-garde and out there enough to be considered couture. Her hair, it's cute. It's got like a little flippy-do bottom bob vibe going for it. It's blonde with blue tips and blue going down the side on her right side. When I'm looking at the outfits, I'm going over the photos that Fashion Photo Review uses. So a close-up and a zoomed-in version. So for her interview outfit, I like this. This is good. This is a toot for me. It's nice. It's not like as plain as some of the other outfits might be coming up, but it's nice. It's cute. I'm not sure. I think I personally feel like it's too literal snowflake leaf, frozen leaf thing. I feel like we could have made it a bit more fashion, but we are obviously looking at it from, this is the season 13 of Drag Race, so obviously every time a new season comes up, they gotta top the previous season with everything, with their talent, with their looks, with like everything that they pull out. So in the interview, she said that she's most scared for Snatch Game, which a couple of girls kinda say that they're scared for Snatch Game. So I'm like, if you know you're going to be scared for Snatch Game, you should prepare a bit more for Snatch Game so you're not as scared for it. But she looks pretty. She looks great. I feel like she's going to be good with photo shoot challenges. If she made this, then I have no concerns for the design challenges whatsoever. But yeah, I mean, right now, for me, for like watchability and how much I'm going to be watching her during the season, out of the, I think it's 12 queens, out of all of the 12, I would rate her maybe off the bat, just with the first impression, out of 12, I would rate her maybe an 8 or 9 that I would be watching, maybe more of an 8. There are other queens that I already know I am going to be watching full force the entire season. But yes, that is Denali. She didn't say how old she was. A lot of the other queens go right off by saying how old they are and how long they've been doing drag. But she only said that she has been doing drag for 2.5 years and that she's from Alaska. And she's very inspired by nature and winter and all that stuff. But didn't mention how old she was. So, but moving right along. Alrighty, next queen on our list is Elliot with 2 T's. She is 26 years old and she is a Vegas queen, although she did let slip 27, so maybe she turned 27 while they were filming this, but she has to like put 26 obviously when you fill in the application and all that jazz. But 26 from Vegas, but she said she had 12 years of drag experience, which means she would have had to have started at 14, which I don't necessarily believe that. Like, you can have 12 years experience performing, but I don't think she has 12 years experience of drag. If she were to have started drag at 14 years old. Thoughts. Questions. Need answers. But moving right along. She calls her... in her interview, I took away her personality and her aesthetic and everything as a high-end housewife. And her outfit is like a big billowy peasant blouse with massive ruffles and a big bell sleeve. She also is a ballet dancer, which she can be a ballet. With Denali, she said she's a figure skater, and skills that you can translate from figure skating and ballet and everything is like stage presence and whatnot, and being able to pick up choreography. But I don't know. I feel like she also kind of added ballet dancer just to be like, oh hey, Brooklyn was a ballet dancer and she got to like second place, so I'm gonna be just like Brooklyn, and like I'm gonna be just as good as Brooklyn, if not win. And I don't know, that's just my first like thought and my reaction to what she added to her interview and whatnot. The outfit, I like. I do enjoy the outfit. Not sure how I feel about a cropped high-waisted pant in like cream to match the blouse. I love the blouse. I love the blouse 2 pieces. Although when I looked at it closer, it kind of looked like couch upholstery fabric, which I'm all for. I've made garments with couch upholstery fabric before. I just made a winter coat with a red rose metallic lining that I'm pretty sure is a couch upholster fabric, but it works. And it looks good on this blouse. It looks cute. And I like the accents of like a pale robin's egg blue. It's very I like it. It adds a something to the outfit rather than just being all blah. I think all of the queens were asked to wear pastels of some kind. And they look great. And this outfit, the blues translate well. I do like the blues in it. The hair is great. The hair is very much high-end housewife. The big pearl necklace, the earrings, the gloves, all speak housewife to me. And that's exactly what she said, and I agree. She looks like a high-end housewife. This season is her third time auditioning. Just thought I'd throw that in there. But out of 12... I would say on watchability and how much I'm going to be watching her, out of 12, let me think. Denali was an 8 or 9. I feel like Elliot will be about a 7. I feel like Elliot will be just one notch below Denali. I feel like I want to see Denali just a bit more than Elliot. But yeah, I feel like this outfit is enough to be a toot. This is a nice... I have not watched Fashion Photo Review yet of this. So as I'm recording this, I'm going through looking at the photos and I'm recording my opinions and my like... response before I hear what Raja and Raven's reviews are, so it's completely unbiased and it is 100% my opinion, and I am not swayed by anything else. I have avoided a lot of material and videos and photos and everything, so I am being as fair as possible. And with that, we are moving on to our next queen. Okay, next queen on our list is Gottmik, not to be mistaken for Gottmilk. Gottmik. And first off, this outfit. Holy shit. Fucking love it. I love the pasties. I love the pointed corset goes up, and it's an underbust corset. But it also like goes up, connects with the neck piece that then fades out into the shoulder pieces. And then this jacket, this giant, oversized, ridiculous amounts of fabric jacket, coat, thing. It literally looks like a bedspread. It is as big as a bedspread. It is just stunning. And then this crown looks like the head of a snake, which I am living for. I would have loved it if she took this headpiece as more inspiration and made it almost like into a snake outfit and gone pastel green. But this tealy pale blue is stunning. Anyways, so... Gottmik is from Los Angeles, California, and is 23 years old and is the first trans male to be on Drag Race. Now, already gonna say, her makeup is very, like, what was it? Because on Canada's Drag Race, Jimbo had a habit of painting his face completely white and then leaving the rest of his body, like, skin tone. Gottmik has the same thing where she paints her face very white, and then leaves the rest of it nude. And Michelle made a point of asking Jimbo, is this a conscious decision? So already off the bat, I know Michelle is probably going to say something about the face, but the face itself, like the way that he paints it, is art. Like, his makeup is very, 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 very nice. And I like it a lot. So yeah. Gottmik is the first trans male to be on Drag Race. He loves to play with gender and like blurring the boundaries of what is feminine, what is masculine, where can you play with the idea of identity and stuff. Love the large diamond crown. I cannot get enough of it. He has a very don't give a fuck personality, which I love. He calms everyone else around him so that he calms. So it's kind of like doing yourself a service by calming everybody else down to calm yourself down, which I can relate to highly, very much so. But yeah, already I can already tell you, out of 12, Gottmik will be my number 10 to watch. 10 or even 11, but yeah, Gottmik is very, very, very much going to be on my top list of queens to watch. I am very excited. And the next queen on our list is Joey J. Joey J, very excited. Joey J, I'm already gonna say maybe 10 or 11 on my list. Joey J, 30 years old, from Phoenix, Arizona. This outfit, very pink, or not like pink the color, but like pink the performer, like biker chic outfit in gorgeous lavender purple. Love it. Love everything about this. She makes a point that she does not wear wigs, and I'm like, yes, do you, girl, do you. I know the judges are literally gonna have a heyday with Joey, but like Joey always says, he likes to see the rules and then break them all. Like, he likes to be told one thing and then doing the complete opposite, but then making you buy it at the end. And I love that, especially with drag. Drag is about bending the rules to begin with. Like, drag in itself is men dressing as women, breaking the gender binary and breaking the rules of gender norms and, like, expressive gender performance. It is always about breaking rules. So I don't see why people would be making such a big deal that a drag performer is breaking the rules of drag. Like, drag in itself is a revolution. So, like, girl, get over it. Drag is about being artistic and being unique and being creative and having fun and performing. Why would it be such a big deal if a queen didn't wear a wig? Look at Sasha Velour. Look at Angina. Look at Evie Oddly. Yeah, so anyways, this is Joey's third time auditioning, and again, like I said, has a very pink aesthetic to his first, like, appearance outfit. I love this jacket. I love the spikes on the shoulders and the, like, the not ruching, but like the big wrists collar, the wrist sleeve little peplum thing. I love just excess uses of fabric in, like, fluid ways. The cape, I don't know how I feel about the cape. I feel like if you got rid of the cape and made the jacket, like, more of the shining star, that would just be a bit more my thing. I feel like you just took a piece of fabric and attached it to the bottom of the jacket, but for all we know, it could actually be attached to the top that is underneath the jacket, but we don't see the outfit without the jacket. But that's just my first thought. Anyways, sorry. So yeah, I'm pretty sure out of drag, I made a note and I was like, Joey J, what does one show a week trade of the season? ? Hot. So out of drag, Joey is super freaking attractive, and I'm excited to see more of the transformation and more of his creative ability and everything. And I'll be touching on, after I go through all of the queens, I'm also going to be covering a quick review of the first 10 minutes of the episode, which we meet Joey and Candy first. So that'll be a spoiler kind of thing if you haven't seen the first, like, few minutes of the episode, but I'll leave that after I finish the rest of the queens. But so far, Joey, probably like a 10 out of 12 on queens I'm going to be watching for this season. All Alrighty, next up is the pageant but not pageant showgirl, Kimora Hall. Not to be mistaken for Kimora, it is Kimora. She is 28 years old from Chicago, Illinois, and has been doing drag for 8 years. What I would describe her, is sort of like the over-the-top showgirly high maintenance housewife. The hair is very like 50s, 60s housewife. Her outfit is large feather, like large ostrich feather with, the back plumes look like ostrich feathers, and then the arms look like cock feathers, I believe. Or maybe that's, I don't remember. But yeah, so she's very much a showgirl aesthetic. She is a no stunts and no tricks. She is a park and bark queen, which I can appreciate, especially if you're going to be doing a ballad or something emotional, because like not every queen needs to freaking do the pop hits and dance around and pulling stunts and tricks and all that crap. God, it fucking irritates me. If you can pull out a ballad and park and bark and still get a great applause, perfect. Fantastic. Cool. Great. I don't need all of these stunts and tricks and shit. I feel like queens rely on that shit when they don't have, don't come for me, bitch. Don't come for me. But like, if you need to rely on stunts and tricks and shit for an entire number, then you need to reevaluate your performance abilities. Moving on, she is a pageant queen, but she does not do pageants. Her whole family does pageants and whatnot, and I totally missed what house it is that she's from. I totally missed it. This is her fifth time auditioning, but this is also the first time she's actually taking it. She actually took it seriously. And then she also adds that she is secretly shady, which a girl who's as pretty as her also being like slightly shady and whatnot, I can get down with the secretly shady girls. Outfit, yeah, it's cute, it's showgirl. I almost want to say she looks more like she should be from Vegas than Chicago, but I mean, that's just off of first glance. But so out of 12, maybe a 7, about a 7 or 8, I'd be watching her during the season. But yeah, I mean, like literally you can even hear it, like I'm just not that enthused by her interview and whatnot. It's just after what, so I watch the interviews just to refresh my memories, I look over my notes, and then I record. But yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm not as excited as I am with like Joey or Denali than I am like with Kimora. I'm just meh. I don't want to say it, but she just seems like she might be a filler queen. I'm sorry. But like, probably I might, depending on how well she does in the season, we might see her on All Stars. And if she has a big enough personality. But yeah, I'm not too wowed or excited for it. But meh, whatever. Anyways, moving on to the next queen. Alrighty, next up, next queen, Candy Muse, the big personality herself. Alrighty, off the bat, her interview, hilarious. I really freaking, like, love her energy already. The outfit, stunning. This, like, 60s pinup, but, like, the hair is so much. Okay, so, theater reference. How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying. It was my first major musical, like large scale show that I was in, and the big beehive hair that she has is very much reminiscent of like some of the hair we had in our show, but hers is like twice as high and a lot more textured and curly and wavy, and it is art. If she styled this hair herself, I'm excited for the hair. The outfit, adorable, sculpted to her body. But okay, observation I've noticed, the skirt where it kind of goes around, the skirt kind of goes around her knees and then it opens up at the front and the sides, and then it goes up into straps, almost kind of like a garter and pantyhose with like little clasp things on them. I've seen a couple of queens already have the exact same sort of like style, where like it, if whether it be a pant or a skirt or it be their like undergarment lingerie sort of thing, all of them kind of have, a lot of them have that look. So just an observation. But this corset where it nips in at the waist and then fully flares out at the hips, adorable. The gloves with little sculptural elements at the top right by her elbows, love that. The neckline where it plunges down into a deep plunging V, and then it has these little like curls at the top of the bodice, love that. It looks like the corset part comes off and then the boob part is part of the under bodice, and then the corset itself is just an underbust that can come off. That would be a stunning reveal if it is. But yeah, visually stunning. Her face is great. Anyways, Candy Muse is 25 and is Dominican and comes from New York City. She is from the House of Aja, and when you listen to her voice and everything, identical. Like, the way she laughs is so similar to Aja. Dahlia Sin is also her sister, and Dahlia went home first, and Aja did well on All Stars, so wonder where she's gonna place. Anyways, she doesn't do any stunts or tricks. Again, I like it. A girl with a big personality and doesn't rely on stunts or tricks. Love it. She is loud. She's the self-proclaimed bitch, ho, here to have fun, but win. Out of 12, she is definitely a 10 for me to watch, depending on how the first episode goes. I'm not gonna say any spoilers, but I'll discuss it after I get to the queens and I talk about the first 10 minute preview. But yeah, she is definitely probably a 10 out of 12 for me to be watching. I'm excited. I like these big personalities. They're usually the most entertaining to watch on TV and whatnot, and that's probably why a lot of the producers bring them on. She is stunning to look at as well. She is gorgeous. This is definitely a 2 of an outfit for me. And I love this hair color on him. Having a stroke. But yeah, this red hair in a beehive with curls, I wanna try this. I gotta try this on one of my wigs. Anyways, moving on, I'm excited for Candy Muse. Alrighty, next up, we have Lalari. Also, I just want to know, Kamora Hall, I totally forgot to mention this. She is from the House of Hall, as in Jada Essence Hall, as in the current reigning winner of season 12 of Drag Race. Anyways, moving back to Lalari. This girl. Okay, first off, her outfit, I'm already going to boot. No, thank you. So she is 30 years old from Atlanta. She is a hot Atlanta girl. Nobody says that. But yeah, the outfit, no. I mean, on her skin tone, these pastels, stunning. But I mean, it's just a leotard with a like shrug of a sweater and the turtleneck underneath it, which I don't know why. But I mean, the colors, the pink and black on her skin tone are phenomenal. I love this pink and black combination on her. The makeup. So she's been doing drag for 3 years. And compared to some of the other girls who have been doing it for like two and a half, her makeup could be a bit elevated, but we'll see how she does on the season. Maybe she has a complete transformation, which would be a great storyline if she makes it far. She is a dancer and she is nervous about sewing. I'm tired of these girls going onto the show being like, I'm nervous about sewing because I can't sew. I'm over it. I'm tired of it. This is season 13. Learn to sew. Anyways, moving on. She is a Drag Race mega fan, watched every single outfit, and then, yeah, the other note I wrote down was her outfit's meh, but honestly, out of 12, 5, maybe, 5 out of 12 of how excited I am to watch her, maybe a 4, but I'm not excited at all, unless she can get some kind of story arc out of her journey. I don't have high hopes. Like, on my notes, some girls I have like a full paragraph of notes that I wrote down, some girls I have like 3 lines, other girls I have 4 lines of notes, her 2 lines, and it's mostly about the outfit. So really, really not, I don't have high hopes for Lala Ri visually so far. But she says she's a dancer, and she is more intrigued by queens who do dance around and pull stunts and tricks than Park and Bark. So that is a contrary view to what I prefer to see. So we shall see if she can convert me. Next up, we have Olivia Lux. And I also just realized we do have 13 girls and not 12, but my rating is still going to be staying the same for everything else. So, again, Olivia Lux, she is 26, from Brooklyn, New York, and she's only been doing drag for a year. Now, this face is good. I do like, this is a good mug. For a year, that's a good mug for a year only of drag. See, like, her compared to Lala Ri, who's been doing it for 3, I like Olivia's mug a hell of a lot more. This hair, stunning. I love this ginger afro on her. And then this, like, minty pistachio, greeny blue teal showgirl, but not showgirl outfit. Amazing. And again, there's those stirrup things on the leggings. I'm pretty sure, like, every time they do these promos, they always have a designer come in and make the outfits for the girls, but then they get, like, some input onto how their outfit looks and everything. But I'm pretty sure there's like a designer who comes in and does the outfits and whatnot for the promo of each season, because like there's no way these girls would have had these outfits and the amount of them that all have these stirrups that all look like they were constructed the same. Yeah, there's no way. But I do like this outfit a lot. I love this skirt. I love this open front sculptural skirt with the boning that flares it out even bigger at the hips. Love it so much. So yes, Olivia Lux, she is a dancey, showgirlish sort of vibe. She loves bright fashion. She plays her pianos at show, or she plays her piano at shows and does it live, which I think is super fun. And like, again, is unique and creative and special for her. She's only auditioned once since, again, she's only been doing drag for a year, which is remarkable. But yeah, again, I only have like 2 lines of notes for her. So out of, well, 13, but still out of 13, I'd say, yeah, about a 6 or 7. Yeah, Maybe a 7. Yeah, 7. I like 7. 7 sounds good. 7's good. You guys agree with 7? We'll go with 7. Yeah, let's set a 7. But this outfit, stunning. I love it. It's a toot for me. And next to the stage, we have Rosé. Rosé is 31 from New York City. She first response I saw her as like a showgirl comedy queen where she can blur the lines of like camp and glam. The outfit's adorable. It almost like the legging pant things that she wears almost look like they also go down and cover her heels, which is cute. It's a very 80s vibe, especially with these massive ruffle like upper arm glove things. It's a massive ruffle like you would see in an 80s prom gown. It is just like pure 80s metallic realness. And then the rest of the outfit is very, very sparkly with micro sequins in her name, Rosé, in a very like rose gold sort of color. Face is very, very, very nice. I love the makeup job. The hair, again, very 80s, big, but not curly. It is very, like, teased out and straight. So in the interview, she talks about theater and music and dance and is a Broadway theater fan, which I can connect with. The outfit's pretty punk glam, which is a great combination. She sees herself as a perfectionist, so she mentions that letting go of being a perfectionist to just have more fun is something she might struggle with, which, girl, relatable. This is her second year auditioning. She's friends with Jan from season 12. And so I guess her and Jan auditioned together, and when Jan mentioned she got on, she was kind of pissed. But she also made a note to make sure that people know that she is consciously aware of like current economics and society stuff, and to be a good leader means to be consciously aware of what is going on in the world. And I 100% agree. Like, to be a leader, you need to know what's going on in the world and you need to be aware. And I think she is smart in mentioning that kind of shit. Because I do agree. Like, if you're going to be a leader and you're going to sort of take on the role of the next drag superstar, you got to know what's going on, which I think is really, really cool. And out of 13, Rosé is definitely going to be a 10 or... 10. 10 sounds good. 10 out of 13. 10 or 11 out of 13 is how excited I am to watch her on the show and how closely I'm going to be watching her. And next, we have the Ebony Enchantress herself, Simone. She is 25, from LA, originally from Arkansas. Now, first off, this hair. Bitch, get into this hair. It is art, it is sculpture, and it was not done by her. She is friends with Gigi Good, and apparently Gigi did this hair, which, holy shit, this hair is art. Oh, I cannot get enough of this hair. But after the hair, I'm just kind of bleh. I mean, I do get 90s vibes from this outfit, like the big pants, the chain belt, the sort of tube top that connects to a button-up panel and then to a dress shirt collar. I do kind of like where that top is coming from. I like that. And then the little peekaboo of like underwear popping up, it is definitely very 90s to going into 2000s. I do enjoy the outfit. At first I was gonna say I hate it, but now that I'm looking at it a bit more and longer, it's definitely starting to grow on me like a fungus. Anyways, hair stunning, outfit, it's simple and cute. She started drag at 18 and she is 25. So that is, oh shit, me and her have been doing it the exact same time. She is 25, I am 25. She started at 18, I started at 18. So that means we've both been doing drag for almost 8 years. It'll be 8 years, 2021. She's very fish, very fish. I love it. She is a fashion face and personality, which is great. Although in the interview, she had this grill in her mouth and I just almost could not understand half of the things she was saying. And I'm like, if you're doing an interview, take the grill out. I want to be able to hear you talk. But I don't know, I'm out of 13, I'm conflicted. The interview was fun. The outfit was okay. It's kind of growing on me. The hair is everything, but I feel like the outfit and the hair are kind of disjointed for some reason. I feel like the outfit is more played down and casual than the hair is. I feel like the hair is giving me one thing and then the outfit's giving me another. And I feel like something could have been edited, whether the hair have been more 90s or the outfit have been more avant-garde and creative and artistic. But she's cool. I mean, Simone's cool. Again, two lines of notes. Out of 13, maybe an 8? Yeah, an 8 seems like a good, comfortable place for me to put her. But yeah, so that is the Ebony Enchantress Simone. Hello, hello, hello. Just wanted to give a quick shout out to my first Patreon patron, Robin Fisher. Thank you so much for signing up. It means the world, especially from the amount of times that I like come into your work and like look for you specifically just to like gab. It means so much. So thank you so much. And if you guys want to join the exclusive Patreon family, you can find me at patreon.com/ravenessclaw. That is patreon.com/ravenessclaw. So let's get back to the podcast. Next up, we have Miss Tamisha Iman. We have the Atlanta, Georgia Starlight. The outfit, first off, she has a very form-fitting dress, but then the bottom flares out at mid-thigh, or at the thigh, and then it puffs out into a shit ton of tulle like a cream puff. But up close, looking from the top of the tulle at the form-fitting part of the dress and up, she is gorgeous. On my notes, I made a note that she reminds me a lot of Jasmine Masters. Just like the big smile. It was just mostly her smile reminds me a lot of Jasmine Masters. She has a very pageant queen aesthetic to her. She designs her outfits, her hair, her jewelry, which I can't appreciate because she also mentioned she's been doing this for 30 years. She says she's got 30 years on the girls. And I'm like, holy shit. Like this hair is high whore pageant drag. The dress bodice with the breastplate. High whore, like, pageant drag. This breastplate is stunning, honestly. In the interview, this breastplate is everything. Her skin is glowing. It is everything. Her makeup is stunning. Her makeup is high whore drag. And she is just the epitome of pageant drag and pageantry. Apparently, also, Lalaurie is her daughter. So, I'm intrigued how a mother and daughter are going to do in a competition where you're fighting by yourself. Like, when I get into the last, it's weird. I'm not totally like pageant queens are fantastic and like the way that they work and how their end results look, pageant queens are stunning and everything. And like, this hair is like, it's not as sculptural as Simone's, but like, this hair is big. There has to be at least 3 wigs in this. It is big, like almost verging into Lady Bunny big. It is just everything. But yeah, she brings the haute couture to her fashion and whatnot by designing her own stuff. I wonder if she also means she constructs it herself. But I have a feeling after doing this for 30 years, she designs it, but then she hires someone else to make her outfits. But we shall see come the sewing challenges. But yeah, I want to see how she also interacts with like Joey J and Utica Queen, because there's always a sort of type of tension between the pageant and the non-conforming like performers. Like, I want to see Gottmik and Joey and Utica go off against Tamisha, maybe Kimora, and Olivia, maybe. That would be like the combination and the contrast between club kids / genderfuck / like high form art versus the pageantry, the showgirly, the glitz and glam, and high whore classic drag. Like, that's why I love this, is the combination of girls who take drag seriously and don't break the rules and follow the rules versus the girls who love to break the rules, stomp on them, and shove them in the trash. I love it. I love it. I love it. So I'm very excited to see where she sort of ends up. But out of 13, how excited am I to be watching Tamisha, and how closely am I going to be watching Tamisha? Out of 13, maybe a 7, maybe an 8. I'm not too excited to be watching Tamisha. I mean, there's another queen that is probably going to be the last queen that I'm going to be reviewing is probably going to be a 12 or 11 or 12 or 13. She's going to be the highest one that I'm going to be watching the entire season. But let us first get through our second last queen before we get to her, because next up we have Tina Burner. Oh my god, next queen, Tina Burner. I'm rewatching each of their interviews, and I just love Tina Burner's energy. Like, oh my god, I'm so excited for Tina. So, 39 years old, from New York City, very seasoned. Her hair is super fiery phoenix, like red, yellow, orange. It is sculptural, it is drag. She is all about the performances. Like, drag can be what it is, but at the end of the day, it is about performance and entertainment. She is a comedy costume clown, big everything, high whore drag, big hair, big outfits, hilarious. Love her. First of all, this outfit, I want it. Like, maybe not in yellow, but like, I love the freaking lacing on the bodice and on the sleeves. I love the little mermaid flare out at the bottom, like a trumpet skirt. Just her shape is stunning. Just everything about this outfit, if I can get it in red and black with the stones at the bottom of it, I would be very happy. Like, this is just everything. I love how tiny the knee is, and then how big the bottom of the skirt is. Like, from the knee down, it's massive. Tiny nipped in knees, huge waist, huge hips, nipped in waist. The lacing on the front of the bodice, like a corset, but not a corset. I just cannot get enough of this outfit. Like, Jesus Christ. I'm gonna have to, like, recreate this and put my own spin on it and make my own, because, like, oh my god, I love it so much. But yeah, Tina, already off the bat, out of 13, 11. Like, I am super excited to see her as a drag performer go through this. I am so excited. Like, first impression, high expectations. I really want to see her do well and go far. Very excited. Oh my god. Okay, last queen, Utica Queen. Oh my god, what a fucking bundle of energy she is. Oh my god. I'm already gonna say, out of 13, 12. Like, she's gonna be the one queen I'm gonna be watching this whole freaking time. She is so much like me, but not at the same time. Like, she takes inspiration from Tim Burton. Oh my god. Like, love her. She reminds me so much of, like, Gigi Good and Evie Oddly. Like, the theatricality and the creativity and the, like, the balls to just do what she does of Gigi. And then the, like, there's just, her laugh is just reminds me so much of Evie. And she's just so heartwarming. She even mentions, like, she just really wants to come onto the show to make friends and just be lovable. And just, oh my god, I love her so much to begin with. Oh my god. Now this outfit, it's a lot. Like, you've got yellow and white gingham on one half, you've got bluish teal gingham and white on the other, you've got a pink gingham lining underneath, you've got 1, 2, 3, 4 hats. It's a lot. It is drag, and more is more, especially with drag. Like, even her makeup matches the split of the outfit. Like, yeah, the hair, I'm not sure if I'm feeling this hair. Like, if it were to be, oh yeah, looking at it, if it was one hat that was just a bit bigger and split, that would be very much like it's almost kind of reminding me of the one outfit in the new Mary Poppins, Mary Poppins Returns. I'm having a stroke here. The Mary Poppins Returns film, when they go into the bowl and she does the little show and she changes outfits into that one very ruffly ruched dance outfit with the hat. That hat is what I'm connecting. And it's very much like that. So if she were to have done the split outfit with one hat, but make it bigger and not a bowler hat, like, definitely era appropriate, because I know where she's coming from with this outfit, era and theater wise. Yeah, I'm already feeling her so much. Like, she is colorful. She is bizarre. She's a designer, a sewer. She's a fine artist. She's just, this is also only her second audition, which I'm surprised that she didn't get on from her first audition, but I mean, she's just so lovable. She is such a true sister, and she's adorable, and this energy is just everything. And, like, I also make a note that she is a lot, and then I make a second note, like, a lot. She's just a complete spitfire of energy and bundle of joy, and I just enjoy watching her interview wholeheartedly, and I am just so excited to see what else she brings, because now that I've seen how much energy she has and how outlandishly colorful and courageous and brave she is with her outfit choices, I am just so freaking excited to see, like, what she brings for a lot of the challenges if she makes it far. I hope she does. I hope she goes far. I really does. Because literally, she's going to be my number one besides Joey J and Gottmik. I feel like Utica, Joey J, and Gottmik are going to be my top three that I'm going to be watching. Because, Jesus, I'm so excited for those three. Yeah, definitely. Oh my gosh, so excited. Anyways, that is all 13 queens. And now, for a speed round, I'm going to quickly watch Drag Race 13 Queens out of drag and just sort of go through and see who I would cast as the trade of the season. Okay, so speed round of the queens out of drag and their trade level. And like how much trade do they look out of drag? So, first off, Denali is cute. Maybe not full trade, but cute. Next, Elliot. Damn, unique, cute, almost trade for me. The photo that I saw, definitely of an actor headshot, which always increases a level of trade for headshots. Joey, 100% trade. Yes, Jesus Christ. Oh my God. Kimora is more of a cute soft boy than trade for me. Candy, definitely trade, especially when he has facial hair on. Lalari, trade. Yes, facial hair again. Gottmik, cute as fuck and a jawline for days. Jealous, but I wouldn't go as far to say trade, but that jawline, holy fuck. Olivia Lux, cute but not so far as to say trade. Facial hair will make anyone trade. Rosé, holy shit, completely unrecognizable out of drag. Yes, trade. Simone, I wouldn't say trade, but definitely attractive. Tamisha, daddy but not as scruffy, so I guess trade. Tina Burner, just cute. I mean, he's cute, yeah. Utica, my type, my trade. Definitely a model look to me and is uniquely hot to me. Jesus, someone connect me with Utica, please. But yes, that is my quick speed round of who is my trade of the season. My top three trade, definitely Utica. What else did I say? Utica, Joey, and either Gottmik or Elliot for me. This is my list. I'm following my list. So my list is Joey, absolutely, Utica's trade for me, and then a tie between Gottmik and Elliot. Yes, those are my trade picks for the day. And now we move on to the final segment, which is the first 10 minutes of the episode. So if you want anything spoiler free, or if you haven't seen the first 10 minutes of the show, then click away now. Feel free to subscribe to my podcast on Spotify or on Anchor, wherever great podcasts are listened to. But as we continue, we will now dive into the first episode of the season 13 of Drag Race. So we're going to start with the room entrance look. So the first two, we only get two queens to enter first. We only have two queens entering. I'm going to get there. But talking about the entrance looks, first queen to enter is Candy Muse. And her outfit is how I describe it is a denim dance costume. Very fun. And she has a denim boombox with her. And I make a note that I'm not sure if it's pushing enough to be an entrance look. But her personality in the room when she enters is definitely like Eureka. Her personality reminds me a lot of Eureka. Second to enter is Joey J. And his entrance look is a red... She has like red chaps, red bodysuit sort of thing with a big chicken feather sleeves. She makes a note or a mention to Candy that she only actually does one show a week, which honestly, that's still more than we do here in Niagara, unfortunately. But again, she is definitely my trade of the season. When they go and do the interviews and whatnot out of drag, she is the trade. She is so hot. So yes, we only have two girls entering the workroom at first before we hear Rue's voice. And then we go to the main stage And it's almost like we're starting a runway already. And we get Rue, and we have Carson, we have Michelle, and we have Ross, all divided by clear plexi dividers. Obviously, COVID's a bitch, so COVID decided to screw with everyone's production. So they are safely behind and separated by clear dividers. And the first two girls who enter have to lip sync against each other. And some will leave and some will stay. And as I was watching, I made notes. So I wrote that I'm gonna assume that the majority will stay just to keep the numbers up. I've heard some other people speculate that they are going to keep it between two girls at a time so that the competition starts with only six girls just because of COVID and the numbers and whatnot. But I don't know how they're going to get through with only six girls. Like, so I speculate that there will be a couple double saves and very few leaving. Or they might be keeping everyone and they're just doing it to make sure that the girls know how serious this is and how important it is to give it your all 100% of the time. The song that they lip sync is Call Me Maybe. Candy kind of makes it more funny and entertaining to watch, especially with a jukebox. And Joey, I was just more captivated and watched Joey more and watched him move a lot more. Rue like made a note saying one will sashay and one will stay. So again, I'm so confused. I don't know if that was meant to be said to be misleading or if that's the truth and one is staying and one is leaving and they're doing this between every pair of girls, but there's 13 girls, so that wouldn't divide up evenly, which is why I thought there were 12, because that makes more sense if they're going to be going in pairs. But I'm very thrown off by this first preview episode. This was a big divergence from the original series setup and everything. I mean, they did the same thing with the first few seasons too, where the winner of the previous week got immunity the following week and then they got rid of that. But I mean, everyone has to adjust with the times and everyone has to adjust with Miss COVID, Miss Rona. Although luckily with 2021, we are getting a vaccine out there. So hopefully we can kind of see some semblance of normalcy after a few months, or at least after 2021. At this point, it is December 30th, and I still haven't even heard anything about Canada's Drag Race, so I'm not even sure if they're holding out until we can get back to normal, or if they're going to be doing something, adjusting to COVID to record the next season. But none of us know anything. All of this is up in the air, and we have no idea what's going on in the world. Oh my gosh. Anyways, this was a long-ass episode for me, so I hope you guys enjoyed. I hope you guys, like, are excited for season 13. This is starting on New Year's Day, so the very first day of season 13, the unlucky number season, is happening the first day of 2021 after the most unluckiest year in existence ever. 2020 was a bitch. 2020 acted like the unlucky year, and this is the unlucky season number 13. So there, honestly, I'm holding out for, I'm not expecting anything, and I'm expecting the unexpected this entire year, because honestly, I'm pretty sure a lot of people would agree when I say I had a lot of plans made for 2020 that went right down the toilet. And there was a lot of things that I wanted to do that 2020 didn't, like, agree with. So I'm just gonna say I'm gonna ride 2021 out with just an open mind, and I'm just gonna go with the flow. Honestly, I'm not going to hold my I'm not gonna hold my breath for anything in 2021 as we try to dig ourselves out of this hellhole. But what are you guys saying? I know I'm not one for New Year's resolutions and whatnot. If you want to do something to make a change in your life, don't do it just because it's a new year. Do it because you want to, and do it at your own time. Don't wait for New Year's to want to do something. If you want to quit smoking and whatnot, why not start today? If you want to start exercising, or if you want to start eating healthy, why wait another week until New Year's? Why are you waiting until then? Just do it now. There's no reason that you shouldn't be living in the moment and making decisions in the moment now. Honestly, and there's a saying that Marsha P. Johnson said that I have started to live by, and I think it was live every day like it's your last, because nobody promised you tomorrow. And I think it's something like that. I know she said nobody promised you tomorrow, which is what I get out of it. And honestly, I'm just gonna live in the moment, live in the present, enjoy what I'm doing now, having fun in the present, and just trying to make the most out of the day I was given. Because nobody promised me tomorrow. And I think that's a good mentality to sort of live by. But what do you guys think? Find me on Instagram. Follow me on Patreon. Cash me on YouTube. Find me on Facebook. I released my Claw & Co. line. So if people would like some custom couture, that is now available. I have released my Clawsom apparel and merch on my Redbubble. I have it all linked down in my bio. So look around, see if you like something. I've released a Patreon for tips, because a lot of this work takes time and money and energy, and it's just a nice bonus for me. But anyways, thank you. Love you all. Good afternoon, good evening, and good night. Whatever time it is where you are, it's 5 o'clock somewhere. So let's pour ourselves another glass of Riesling, especially after this goddamn year. Okay, bye!